Welcome to the Eat the Evidence podcast, a show for cake and cookie decorators and sugar artists of all kinds. I'm your host, Kimberly Chapman, and this is episode number 49 on January 16th, 2020. On this episode, Mark Lee and Jesse Lesser are on to talk about their recent experience on Food Network's Holiday Gingerbread Showdown and share some of the behind-the-scenes trials and tribulations of being on televised competitions. So whether you're working on weekly cakes and wondering how anyone possibly has time to go on TV in the first place, or if you're doing the dishes after your weekly cakes and wondering how you can get on TV yourself, or if you're so up to your elbows in icing and batter and dough that you even forgot what television is, let's get this show started to educate and inspire you on your sugar arts journey. Joining me now are a team of competitors from Food Network's Holiday Gingerbread Showdown 2019, Mark Lee and Jesse Lesser.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey.
Hello.
How are you guys doing, other than dying from Christmas break?
Dying from
bitter. Christmas. Bitter. No, not bitter.
We're not bitter. We're proud and disappointed and mostly proud, but it still stinks because they started showing them. Yeah.
Okay. Well, so
the first one was awesome.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Yeah. I have not seen this because, as we were just saying in the preamble, I couldn't find it anywhere. And I don't even mean just like legally. Like, I was even looking at like Daily Motion and stuff. Like,
yeah.
Like, and I could not, all I could find was last year's, the 2018 one. Put it this way, when I even Googled for the 2019, all I find is, Mark, is your Facebook posts.
Oh, funny.
So, because even if I go to Food Network's site about it, Food Network immediately redirects me to the Food Network UK site. So I can't even, if you hadn't posted photos, I'd have no idea what's going on. So,
oh man,
you need to tell me and all the other audience members who haven't seen it, what happened? Tell us the good stuff.
Well, obviously there's a little bit of a spoiler already.
Yeah, I think you're going to be spoiled.
We did win, the whole premise of the show is basically there's 9 gingerbread artists, 3 episodes, and the winner of each episode goes on to the finale. So don't listen. Spoiler, we made it to the finale.
Yay!
The first episode that we were on was great. It was awesome.
Yeah. The 3 themes for the first episodes, the first one was a canine Christmas. Second one was Santa's Day Off. And I think we definitely lucked out with what we got as theme as...
Totally.
Being the worst Christmas ever. So when, we found out that was a theme, we were completely excited to say, yes, let's do something
a little dark,
different, completely outside of the box. That's not normal. Here's one thing too, that many people might not know or didn't know, is that I never really touched gingerbread prior to like 3 or 4 weeks before going on the show.
Oh my
and
God.
Already agreeing to it.
I get this random message, be like, hey, Jesse, do you know anything about gingerbread? And I'm like, it's delicious. Do you know how to make it? I can pretend. What's up? Okay, I'm going to get back to you. Yeah, we had, not that we had no business doing it, but we didn't know what we were doing.
Right.
It was awesome.
I mean, I made a gingerbread house with my kids before when they were little.
Sure, sure.
That was the extent of it. So... Believe me, it's kind of crash course trying to figure out how do you make gingerbread? How do you make construction gingerbread? What do you have to do?
Kimberly, I reached out to you. I was like, hey, can you point me in the good direction?
Oh, yeah,
I
did.
That was because of you. You pointed me in the direction of the recipe, what we used for that entire showpiece.
Julia Usher's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was totally because of you.
Oh, my God.
Uh-huh. So there you go.
Yeah.
See, it all comes back around.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
And,
one reason I did pick Jesse as well, too, is because I myself do not have a pastry or baking background.
Yeah.
It is a graphic design art background, and, caking, I learned online, learned from TV shows and just from other people. So, yeah, it was, if anything, this was going to chalk up as a learning experience and see what happens.
Sure.
So we kind of went in not knowing what was going to happen. But, that's kind of why I like doing these competitions is because, you dive in, it's a challenge. And you try to figure out how to make things work and try to get things done. That's part of the fun of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and we were completely in love with the theme because my main thing, I guess, too, is I'm telling Jesse that one reason I wanted to do this show in the first place is because I did not want to do a regular gingerbread house, which I knew they were going to do because I watched the season before, and they're all kind of gingerbread houses. Some were a little bit more different and odd, but still, it was like classic gingerbread. Here's a gingerbread house. Look at all the cute little detail on the inside and all the little stuff. And I did not want to do that. I do love detail, and the work that those people do is amazing. That's without a doubt. But I wanted to do something completely different and something that would completely kind of have them say, wow, you know, I can't believe you could do that with gingerbread.
Yeah, it totally didn't look. There were aspects of it that looked like gingerbread, but it was really, really cool.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, again, stick to the traditional parts of some of those things that were strictly gingerbread, but do it in a completely different way. And, you know, that was the main reason I kind of wanted to do that show, is because of that, to try to, you know, bring something new and bring something different where people kind of learn. I mean, that's what kind of got me started in the whole cake industry as well, because, you know, I grew up watching Cake Challenge, you know, watching Duff and watching Buddy on those shows, and like, oh, wow, I didn't know all that stuff's made out of rice cereal treat, or I didn't know you could do that with fondant or gum paste, and that's how I kind of learned. And now I think with these shows, you know, it's so focused on the drama and the conflicts that people kind of have with making these things. It's less about the technique and less about the art of what we do. And I think that's what gets people interested in. And now it's unfortunately definitely leaning more towards that drama, but
yeah,
you know, they need to find that balance back again where you can kind of show both. I mean, they did show some of the techniques that we use, but you know, they flash over it so quickly, you don't really get to learn as much per se as just kind of showing new techniques.
Yeah.
So that's some of the reasoning, but it's fun. It's, to me, like I said, going on these things is just fun. And, you know, you're creating food art on TV. I mean, we're not curing brain surgery, or we're not, you know, curing cancer or anything. You know, we're playing with food.
You might not have been.
No.
I wasn't. All sorts of stuff. Yeah, I know.
I'm sure you did.
Going on back there. You don't even know.
my back was too. Yes. So yeah.
Yeah. It's such a weird perspective. Like seeing the stuff on the show, be like, that's not what it looked like at all. It was really dark, and I saw the back of Mark's head for like 8.5 hours.
For like 8 days, right?
Well, yeah, because the first one was cool.
Oh, yeah, the first one. Yeah.
They, you know, they gave us the premise, and we had, you know, Mark had to submit design ideas, and which was great because as a graphic designer, he had like these beautiful rendering skills, so it was awesome. But it was like, oh, tweak that, or oh, do this. Okay, we've approved your idea. You now have like 3 weeks at home to make all, because I mean, Kimberly, you know, like, baking a cookie and then waiting for it to cool and then putting it together. Oh my God, you can't do that.
Yeah.
You can't do that live.
So I was wondering how much they let you pre-bring. Cause I mean, I heard, your good friend, Lauren Kitchens, who one day I'll get on the show. I mean, I've heard her talk about like back in the days when she was doing Food Network Challenge. In fact, she was the first person I heard clearly say, we pre-brought all this stuff. No, we can't do that live.
Yeah, well, they were great about it, and they actually, they were amazing because it made it to the episode of, we appreciate this takes so long, we have given these bakers 3 weeks at home to make stuff. So we were allowed to bake everything ahead of time and ship it and hope that it didn't break. And then we had 10 on-camera hours to put it together. So
got it.
Yeah, oh my God, there'd have been no way. There'd have been no way. So
So in that aspect, it's a little different from the regular cake competitions that you see, where they have the 5 or 6 hours to complete, you know, a showpiece. You know, of course, there's no way you could do this completely in a full 5 hours and get these displays done on time.
Sure.
So there's a lot of pre-work, you know, you can are allowed to bring to a certain extent within the requirements, which makes sense. You know, a lot of that is just kind of unseen within the audience world. They just think, oh, yeah, they make this cake and it's already there in 1 hour because that's how long the show lasts.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a misconception a little bit, but
you know, I liked that they were clear about it for this one.
Yeah.
It kind of took some of that away.
Yeah. Magic of TV, I guess. So that's
whatever.
Well, that's one of the complaints that keeps coming up is that, I mean, this has been for over a decade now. People have been asking, does cake TV hurt orders because it makes people think that you can have a a giant Mike McCary original Scooby-Doo whatever for, like, you know, a couple $100 because it only took him an hour.
We had, we've gotten asked that once, and it was literally, well, how I need this today. It's like, you can't have that today. well, no, but it only takes an hour. I see it on TV. It's like, oh, Peanut, there's so many things that are wrong with we're just going to say we're booked, and we're going to be friends.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of figure out, you know, what kind of clients you want to have and what ones you don't. I mean, those are the ones that kind of just don't get it. And, you know, if you see the other ones that see the appreciation that they take for the work you put into it, they'll look, they kind of understand and can comprehend when you say, no, this stuff takes a week to prepare. It'll take, you know, 20 plus hours or whatever to make this cake. So there's a little bit of education involved. And I think, you know, as an industry and as kind of an artist doing this stuff, you kind of have to do a little bit of that. But, you know,
not
if they really want
it, better. Yeah, they'll pay for
it. Yeah, it's getting better. People will do it and they'll pay for it. So part of that, like I said, you look for those clients, or those are the clients you want to work with.
Because you both do cake full-time?
I'm full-time.
Yeah.
She is. I am not. I actually have a full-time job as a art director for an advertising agency. So cakes I did like on the weekend and on nights.
Okay. Afterwards. But you are both selling. I mean, obviously I knew Jesse was working at Lauren's. I mean, you are still at Lauren's shop. I haven't heard anything different. Right. Okay. Yeah. But,
No, I'm still there.
Yeah.
Why? What have you heard?
Nothing.
No, I'm
still there. Well, you know what she said? She.
Damn it. I got her on the podcast sneaky and. Yeah. But, no. I'm still full time at Lauren's shop.
Right. Sure. And you've both been on TV before, right?
This is my first time.
Oh.
Mark's been on.
I've been on almost everything.
On like all of the TV. Yeah. It's awesome. He's a wicked pro. We counted. Was it like eight
this
was like 8 or 9?
For shows, maybe 7th. Maybe like 7th show or something. But
yeah.
I think if you're not sure, that means like you're officially pro at it, yeah.
Right. If you're like, I've been on TV for approximately 47 minutes, you're like, no. Just go sit down.
Jesse knows it in data speak, like to the nanosecond of how many minutes you
have. How much airtime you got.
That was one of the things Mark asked. He was like, okay, do you want to do this? Okay, because we've never worked before. You know, we've been friends, but we never worked before. And he's like, do you think you'll be okay on TV? It's like, oh, we're good. We'll just pretend it's like the podcast and class and stuff. You know, yeah, no worries.
Did great. You did fine.
Thanks.
It went well.
I had fun.
So, yeah. I mean, that's all you got to do is have fun. Anyway,
oh, my God.
So.
We had so much more fun that they didn't even show. They were like,
I know.
We want you guys
I was,
to be goofy
I was disappointed.
And silly. Kimberly, it was like... It was like Jesse dialed 211 and none of it made it. I felt like such an ant.
I want to watch that.
Shoot. I know. I want like the, you know, what didn't make it to the show. It would have been way more fun.
Well, that's what we were saying for when you were on last year too with this podcast, the other 5.5 hours we can.
Subscribers only. How do we get that?
Subscribers. Yeah, because I have so many paid people. Yeah.
Oh my God! I want the director's cut, the unrated director's cut.
Did you swear on the show, Jesse?
I don't think I did. I really don't, because I was trying so hard not to.
Right.
I'm sure like a quiet one or two, but I was trying so hard.
Well, they did. I noticed they did so when I did say like. I had the gremlin thing. They said I said the badass or something. I noticed that one got.
Yeah. See, I think that's an okay.
Yeah. See, I said that in front of someone else's kid recently, and I was like, "Is that okay?" I just said it because I don't think of it as a swear word, and I don't think they did either. But then it occurred to me other people heard it, and was that okay?
Well, who knows? They always say they want to try to make it family friendly. You never know.
Yeah.
But
poor Jose. When he's like our friend. He swears like anything. So he was bleeped it in, blurred it in. He did not try. It was awesome. I just figured if I said anything, I would just say that he said it. Yeah.
I would not censor, badass from the show. It has appeared in advertising in Europe for Hellboy. in France.
Oh, that's fantastic. Okay.
Yeah, because I was when I was in France and talking to this guy in a comic book store with our franglais back and forth, which was like the most fun nerd conversation I ever had. It was like so just like because neither of us could speak each other's language, but we made it in the middle like with the nerdy things. And I was trying to describe my 14-year-old and what she's into because I was there to buy comics in French for her. And he started pulling out kind of like the girl comics, you know, and I'm like, no. Le, and I'm like miming le fencing, et le kendo, et le karate. Like I'm miming all this stuff like I am right now, like because that helps. And I said, elle est un grand badass. And he's like, badass. And I'm like, yeah, badass. So,
nice.
Yeah. So and then on the way home, transferring through at Paris, there were Hellboy ads right outside the station that said something about – I took a photo because it was just so funny about him being – un grand badass or something.
I love like, that.
So I don't think that's a swear. I think that's fine.
It's not now. I think we own it.
I think we just I'm not even gonna put a warning on this. I think if someone's that offended at that, they've been offended by something else I've said on the show already anyway. Right. Okay. So the first episode was canine theme. You said, or
That was the first one that shows. Yeah. But the one that we made was a worst Christmas ever. Like what?
Oh, I see. Okay.
What could? Yeah.
Because I've seen the Gremlin thing, but I hadn't seen a canine thing.
So those were the first three episodes. The Gremlins was the finale because it was a 35th anniversary of their movie. Yeah.
Right.
Which, you know, Gremlins is a really obscure Christmas movie.
It is totally a Christmas movie. I will die on that hill.
Right.
Oh, totally.
And, totally. Yeah, and it was one of my favorite films growing up, too. So it was, like, perfect, and we were so excited to get that, too. But, you know, actually, we went into the first initial episode, didn't think we were going to win at all. I mean, because, you know, we were going, like, I didn't know what I was doing. You know, I knew our design was kind of more out there. And we weren't sure what the judges were looking for on things. You know, you kind of get clues from last season's, but there are different judges as well. And they definitely lean more toward the traditional kind of gingerbread feel for their holiday versions. Their Halloween ones are a little bit different. But for this one being holiday, it was, I think there were probably times, Jesse, that I think I kind of questioned you. I'm like, is this right? Are we doing something? Should we do this even? Or are we like, is this too far out there? And you know, we had some other ideas that didn't make it, obviously, and those were even worse. So
there were a couple parts to be like, we like things a little dark. Like, we're made for the Halloween more than holiday. And we definitely had someone's like, oh, I think that's a little too dark for holiday.
How many times did you sing Jack Skellington songs?
you have no idea. Literally, that's what I said. Because I was like, worst Christmas ever. Can we please do Nightmare Before Christmas? And Mark's like, no. I'm like, but
that did come up. I'll admit it.
Please?
But
gingerbread rules. Mark was the boss. When there was a few gingerbread rules, Mark is the boss. Until he puts the hammer down of this is my decision, I can plead my case. Okay. I can say please. But the minute it's no, this is the decision we're going in. Stand by it 100%.
Because it was Mark, you were the one who got the place, and then
Mark was the lead.
Yeah, and you chose Jesse as assistant, right? Yeah,
for sure.
I wasn't that bossy, was I?
No. But it was like since you were, if you're like, nope, this is what I think I feel strongly. This is what we're gonna do.
Right.
Gotcha.
Stand by it 100%.
Yeah.
Other gingerbread rules.
But you know,
specific. Tell me exactly what you want.
No, but I mean, I was open to your ideas.
Oh, totally.
And
totally,
you know,
totally. There was a lot of collaboration, but it was like if there you get the ultimate deciding vote, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Right. You know, in my roundabout trying to be polite way, I was like, I'll think about that. It wasn't then you can't be saying like
no, there was
it wasn't a hard no.
he had a way of saying it. I can't, there was like a tone of voice. He was like, well, maybe. I was like, shoot, no, that's a hard no. That's a Mark Lee hard no. Very polite, but like, shoot, I got the hard no versus the, oh, wait, that was a maybe. I can still plead my case. This is what I think we should do. Oh, I got the yeah, sure. I got the yes or maybe. Darn it.
Then what else do we do? No, but I mean, it was, I think that's the nice thing about having her as a partner, because we both kind of like, we're definitely being honest for each other, and it's like,
oh yeah,
you're trying to make the best work possible, of course.
Sure.
And you know, granted, I know all my decisions aren't the right decisions either, but you know, I'm doing something wrong, correct me or help me out.
That was the other gingerbread rule. If something's bad, I'll tell you. I'll say it nicely because you're my friend and I don't want to hurt your feelings. But well, I'm not going to give you the yes just because if it looks like not badass. Yeah.
So obviously, yeah, we were trying to improve our work no matter what, even with this end finale, and just try to do a better job. So you get so caught up with what you're doing out of focus, sometimes you lose either the little things or even sometimes even the bigger picture of things of where it just might not work and it might not, you know, turn out the way you want or hope to. And, you know, like I said, because there was a lot of experiment too on this end, because I was so unfamiliar with the medium and learning as well, and I'm sure there's a couple poor decisions I made too, but you know, that's those lessons that you learn with these things. And you know, if we ever do this again, obviously, now there's less. Well, I haven't got a call right away. If we do it again,
I'm in charge. My turn. Then I can make the decisions, and you can agree to them, and I'll give you the yeah sures. Well, no, I mean, yeah, of course. There was things that we'd probably. There was a part like in the first show, because what we did for the first one was really out of the box, was really, really different. And then at one point we kind of like look up because one of the girls that we competed, well, the girls that we competed against, a very traditional gingerbread. Teeny tiny details. Oh my God, it was amazing.
Was that Heather Campbell Brookshire?
Yes. Heather and Jessica. Yes.
Yeah, and I don't know Jessica, but I know Heather, and I mean, I've had her on the show too, and I know her detail is like squee-worthy amazing.
She was like royal ice piping these like iron lattice work trellis. Ooh. So we're like, oh, okay. And then the next one is like this huge gingerbread factory, because the boys, like he's a restaurant manager, but he makes like 10-foot by 10-foot gingerbread structures every year for his job. Mm-hmm. And we kind of looked over like, oh yeah, no, we're not, we're going to stick by it because we think it's awesome. I don't know if anybody else is going to think it's awesome, but we think it's cool. That moment of, did we miss the mark here? Jim's was a big building with like a 3-foot tall gingerbread cookie thing behind it. And then Jessica and Heather's was like a little coffee shop. Like it looked like a gingerbread house.
Okay.
And then ours, we didn't get so many pictures because they were very, no cell phones allowed anywhere in the building for us.
Right.
So we're like trying to grab screen grabs from, you know, watching it on YouTube and stuff. But it was like a octopus bursting out of a present, ripping off the head of a teddy bear.
Okay. I am looking at that one now. Then, right. Yes.
Yes. That's,
okay.
That was our semi-final. Okay. That's the one we won.
All right. So I will make sure all of these are linked in the show notes, because right now anyone who hasn't seen it is like, what? But okay. So that was your first big gingerbread thing, was this, the octopus, and yes.
Yes.
So the
bursting out from the present.
Yeah. Right. The theme for that one was what?
Worst Christmas ever.
That was Worst Christmas. Oh, okay. Yes. I thought Gremlins was Worst Christmas. See, I'm
completely confused. No, the Gremlins was like its thing on its own. They just went for it. It was cool.
Oh, okay, cool. See, I wish I could have watched it, because then I would actually sound like I'd ever prepared for an interview. But I'm serious. I've never looked at so many illegal download sites as I did last week.
I, like, bought the whole season on YouTube, and then the next day they all came out on Hulu, so I felt kind of dumb.
Because I don't even see a purchase thing for it on YouTube, which means it's geo-blocked. Like, I'd need to put it on a VPN, at which point I could just look at Food Network or whatever.
Yeah, for sure.
But that, like, because this is the really hard thing, is it's gotten harder, too. They've gotten better at this. Again, you know, not getting into Supernatural constantly, but, like, as you and I want to do, as anyone who's followed us on Facebook knows, for 5 minutes, we can speak entire conversations as Supernatural guests, but I can't...
for a really long time.
Yeah, I can't. They've made it so hard to access any U.S. media
shows,
that, like, a friend of mine who doesn't have a Blu-ray player, so I can't even loan her the U.S. season 14 Blu-ray DVDs I bought of Supernatural. She can't find anywhere to even illegally watch it, because as soon as it's up, it's gone. I mean, wow. Even the, like, it used to be a year or two ago, if you were looking, and I don't download a lot of illegal videos. I pay for things. Real passion of mine is, as someone who's a digital author, I don't like to do that. But, like, it used to be you could find things on YouTube where it would be, like, down in the bottom corner, and it would trick the bots by having weird moving graphics and the rest of it. So, like, if you just needed to see the last 5 minutes of something that had scrolled off the feed, you could stomach it.
You could find it.
Yeah, you can't even find that stuff anymore. I can't even find it. And so, yeah, I literally have no idea what you guys did other than by looking at your social media.
Well, you're faking it really well. You're like, oh yeah, that was awesome. I mean, that's why we love you.
Yes. Okay, but right now I am looking at the octopus pet thing. So it's got lights on it. So okay, tell me all about that one.
So the images for that one, again, was the worst Christmas ever. So, you know, we were going back and forth trying to figure out what to decide, what could we do. You
know, we tried so hard for zombies. We wanted zombies so badly.
Oh, what, they wouldn't allow zombies? Zombies.
Well, I was trying to keep it. It's like we wanted zombies.
You wanted zombies.
I'm like, this is Christmas. Come on, I can't do
zombies. They're green.
Christmas, you know, I do something. Kids are watching this, and you know, I was trying to keep it, you know. So of course, I gravitate to her. Hey, what if we put Rudolph's head on like a mount and Santa shot him for Christmas?
Yeah, so. He's just gonna have Santa eating Rudolph and wearing like reindeer skin boots with like reindeer. I was like, oh man, that's a little dark.
The nose on the toe, yeah. So his toe on the slipper would be blinking red with Rudolph's nose.
Because it's Rudolph's head on it is a boot.
Yeah.
So that's not dark. No, I mean,
I like it. I wouldn't let my 6-year-old see it, but I'd let my 14-year-old see it.
Right. So that was one idea that was nixed by the network. So,
probably for a good reason.
Whatever reason. We had other ones of like a giant Frosty or maybe a giant, then we went to giant gingerbread man, and then they were saying, oh, well, someone's already doing that.
Somebody's already doing that. We're like, man.
And we almost had like Santa's workshop getting destroyed or something. Oh, someone's going to do that. And then, it's back open again. You can do that. So, I mean, there's a lot of that back and forth, regardless, even if like trademark stuff too. Like, you can't do this person, or you can't do this likeness, or that's in a whole other big ball of trouble. So anyway, I guess the main concept for our worst Christmas ever was basically, well, you know, this mom's frantic, you know, she's trying to make the best Christmas ever for her son, you know, fictional Timmy, you know, setting up the living room, putting cookies out, decorating the tree, decorating the fireplace, you know, stockings, little tiny gingerbread houses and things. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, well, she forgot to order a present, so she goes on, you know, you couldn't use Amazon, so I had to think of, I had like the Santa Express or some kind of, and then it'd be like what, Ho Ho Express or something. So just like a play off Amazon type of thing. And so instead of ordering her a puppy by mistake, she gets an octopus that tears through the box and destroys the whole
Christmas
kills setting.
The living room
and this bear
everything.
This is a dead bear.
Yeah, so that was that was the concept. And, you know, and just everything was, I'm a very details kind of guy. So me was kind of focused on, okay, how can we make all these little details and make it feel like it's really awesome looking and great.
Yeah.
So we kind of went from there. They agreed to it. And then we kind of ran with it. And, we had a lot of cool stuff on there. I think it was very proud of the work that we're doing. And again, this had have a piece that had a moving element.
Which they really downplayed.
They did.
How it aired, because they had made it, you know, they had given the parameters, you know, so much has to be gingerbread, so much has to be edible, and there has to be a dynamically moving element. Like, they made it sound like that was a deal breaker. Mm-hmm. So we, you know, Mark knows motors, so he's riddling out all these. So we, at one point, there was, three things moving on that, and one didn't work. One of the arms got wonky, unplugged it. There was the clock, three.
I had a moving, actual moving clock.
It was a cuckoo clock out of gingerbread. It was so cool.
It's very cute. Yeah, that's amazing that it moves.
Mm-hmm.
I had one spinning on a turntable. I'm not a mechanical engineer, so I asked my nephew, who actually is a mechanical engineer, just graduated. He's like, how can I make this work? And, you know, he gave me the whole little schematic, like, oh, put this here, add this, put this mirror on, and, you know, yeah, you can have a kind of have this motion of this octopus arm going in and outside of the box, and
yeah,
that was the idea. It was a little disappointing to hear how much they downplayed that, because
they didn't even
otherwise mention it. Yeah, yeah, otherwise, you know, as cave people, you know, to do those type of things, you have to do a lot of structure to make sure it, you know, it works and it stays and it's not going to fall apart, and, you know, because you're doing food elements on these things. And
right.
It was interesting. They didn't even mention it, and we're like, but with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. So I think if that was more of a focus, we probably would have gotten more kudo points for that, probably. But
yeah,
you know, it is what it is. That's part of being on these shows too. You just have to. You roll with it. Like I said, it's all subjective on how people think of things, and I get it. And then you kind of, you get that with the artwork you do too. You know, not everyone's going to like it. Some people are going to love it, and you know, some people hate it. But if anything, we're proud with the work you put out there.
Oh, always.
Yeah.
And well, you won this one,
that's
right?
That's the most you could ask for, I think, for any of these kind of shows, or actually any cake I think you produce is just.
Yeah.
Hopefully
we were proud of it.
Hopefully you're proud of doing it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you won this episode, right? So.
We won that episode, and kind of like not surprised, but it was all three finished pieces were really, really, really cool, but in really different ways. So it's like, it was kind of, you know, whatever that panel of judges were looking for, it could have, you know, if they were looking for more traditional gingerbread stuff, Jessica would have, I mean, hands down, there were some just minute fine details in her piece that were just absolutely incredible. Jim had a 3-foot-tall gingerbread man, and it stood up.
That's amazing.
Stood up on its tippy toes. That's insane. Everything was beautiful. Everything was incredible. And I, you know, you always want to say, oh, I knew. I did not think that we were a shoo-in to win that, I guess.
I went in
hoping,
you know,
for
we had a cool piece, but you know, when judging came around, I was thinking, yeah, I don't think we have a, you know, we hopefully have a chance. I don't know. I really didn't know. So it was a shock, and it was a good shock, but I mean...
It was awesome.
Oh my god, that thing you just made? That was amazing! You are so good at this!
Okay, yeah. Something I've always wondered about on all of these shows... When they edit them, they make it look like they tell you, and the winner is, and then wait like 30 seconds while they zoom in at everyone's faces. Do they actually have that long pause?
No, it's even more fun. They say, and the winner is, a dozen bloody times. And the winner is.
Oh, my God.
And the winner is. And the winner of this episode is...
Oh, jeez.
Okay, now everybody look. Okay, you know what? Now everybody look concerned. Everybody look excited. And the winner is, and they say it so many times, but they don't tell you, okay, now this one's for real. So you're almost like not paying attention, but kind of like, okay, this will be the 10th time and we'll do it 15 more and they'll figure it out. And so you get that half second of, oh, shoot, they said Mark. We won. Oh, that's awesome. Like, it's almost like a delayed reaction because you're not expecting it. It sucks.
That's like torture. That should be illegal in some kind of Geneva Convention or something. Oh my god.
It was almost painful.
I bet. No, I cringed just, and I've never done one. And I never will. But like.
But here's the thing. They do that on every show.
Yeah.
So it's.
Okay.
So they do kind of get that unexpected reaction from you, and that's.
Yeah.
Well, plus now they've got 15 different takes and camera angles to work with, I guess, too. So.
Exactly. Yeah.
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 Yes, thinking as an editor, I see the value in doing it, but God, that's mean.
It's torture on contestants, actually. I mean, you know, after you're spent from doing this all day and you're just...
You just want to sit down. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so which part? Was it the arm that's sticking out of the box that was going up and down?
There was the arm that kind of holds like the gift tag that sort of spun in a slow 360.
Okay.
And then there was an arm coming out from the side, kind of like he was going to punch where the cookies fell, and that kind of poked in and out.
Oh, okay. Cause the view I'm looking at is where I'm seeing mostly the bear head. Is that cotton candy? stuffing there?
Totally cotton candy.
Yeah, that's
he
cool.
Made cotton candy. Oh, and it was awesome. And there was one part we were trying to get them. There was this beautiful, like, light, you know, waft of AC when they finally turned the air on the end, because it wasn't, you know, miserably hot. And, you know, that's a whole other fun thing. But it was blowing just wistfully the stuffing out from the head, and it was so deliciously creepy. It was fantastic. It was so good. It just kind of fluttered.
That is very cool. Okay, so now, what are the needles made of from the tree?
The needles were actually, I kind of learned this from back when I did one of the Halloween Wars episode. We did a swamp theme, and we actually did this kind of cypress kind of looking tree. I'm like, oh, what if we kind of put some Spanish moss on there? You know, what can we use for that? And I just remember seeing Chinese, like, clear or, like, white noodles.
That's what I thought it might be, yeah.
What if we dye this stuff? And
they were cool.
They were perfect. And then for this one, I wanted some kind of, like, yeah, pine needles. We got to do, like, pine needles. Like, they destroyed the tree. You know, what can we find? And there's these, it's called mung bean noodle, I guess. And it's just hard, almost plastic-like clear noodles that took food coloring well, and there was our pine needles.
Cool.
And so, yeah, we scattered that. It was all around the tree.
Yeah, because I have found here on occasion some super fine Chinese noodles, but they're hard to find because I live in England, which is nobody rips off China like England does, but like cultural appropriation, colonialism out everywhere, except when you want to find a particular Chinese ingredient that would be so easy to find in the States. Like, we can't have wonton wrappers.
Really?
I cannot find wonton wrappers. None of the girls, I mean, you can just go into like HEB or whatever and get wonton wrappers.
Yeah.
Nobody carries them here. And when I say this to grocery stores, they're like, huh, that's a good idea. And then they never stock them.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I have this one set of like very, very, yeah, like white, very fine Chinese noodles that I got at Tesco 4 years ago. So like, well, expired at this point. And they are in my personal little hoard for when I need, because I can use vermicelli, but it's thicker and yellower.
Well, these had, like, they were straight, but they had a little bit of a kind of bumpy, woggly texture, so it straight wouldn't have looked quite right. And didn't they, Mark, didn't they have a hard time finding that for you, though? Wasn't that an issue?
Yeah.
Because
I found them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I found them at some Asian store, I think, but then for whatever reason in L.A., when they were trying to source some, because I needed more, and they wanted some just in case on hand, to, if they had a film that segment again.
Yeah,
they, I don't know
they
how
had a hard time. And we're like,
five
we're
different
in,
stores.
Like,
they could
outside of L.A., like we should be able to get anything.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It was the weirdest thing to like not immediately have on hand. Like it was odd.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, well, that's U.S. It's so weird in the U.S. Like you live in one city and you can totally get things in another. You can't, but L.A. Yeah. You would think
you could pretty much get like anything.
You would think. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. That's bizarre.
Yeah, at one point we went on a field trip for an Asian market to find like the backup of the backup if we couldn't pull through and found an amazing place for dinner. So I was like, it worked out, but yeah, we went on an Asian market field trip.
Well, that doesn't suck.
It totally doesn't suck. Like we bought candy and dinner and, you know.
Yeah, well, that's where we found an awesome dinner place too.
But so, okay, so in terms of gingerbread, I'm going to guess the fireplace.
Yes, this will be interesting because they struggled with how much they didn't think that we used. So
okay.
What do you think is gingerbread?
I will guess, as someone who has done 3D gingerbread and also knows Thomas Blake Hogan. So I will guess what I think is gingerbread. I'm going to say the fireplace and the clock and the floor and the box. Those are the obvious ones.
Yes.
I'm guessing the plate. I'm guessing the bare head and the boxes and the tree stump and I'm not sure about the tentacles or the bear's body though. Those I'm thinking look more fondant-y.
That's fairly legit. Well done.
And I'm guessing wafer paper coming out of the box.
Sure. The teddy bear, Mark made the whole thing out of baked gingerbread. It was a 3D hollow standing cookie.
Like half shell, basically. Like half shell.
Yeah, but it was 100% ginger. It was a blonde gingerbread dyed blue, but completely like knock on concrete hard.
Wow, okay, that's impressive. Yeah, because it is hard to get cylinders of that stuff.
Speaking of, and actually the octopus arms were gingerbread clay. My own recipe.
Oh no, you need to tell me what that is. I need this.
It was basically the wrong recipe. So I mean, it was more like a struggle. It was more of a Play-Doh consistency versus kind of a harder.
It never really got hard.
No. So like I said, it's a learning experience, and I did it wrong. Probably shouldn't have. We should have adjusted a little more if we had time. But you know,
we adjusted for the next episode.
We did. But you know, when anyone says, "Oh, it's my own secret gingerbread clay recipe," you know, they're talking out of their behind.
Out of their basically. Badass.
Yeah.
Le mot de jour est badass.
Yes.
That's what I'd said to the French guy at one point. Le mot de jour est badass.
Yes.
You know, that's the French I remember.
Like same thing with cake people. They say, "Oh, this is my technique for doing it." I'm like, you know, now someone else has done that before.
Yours
you,
and
so,
10 other
sorry.
People's. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not yours.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, it's part of, I mean, everything was pretty much gingerbread. You know, the cake on top of the tree was actually made out of gingerbread cake. I mean, we had fondant around, like, the tree part. You know, we used ice malt for a lot of things. The plate was actually
gum paste.
Gum paste
on the bows. Okay. Yeah.
But the stool, yes, table, that was
Is that a stool knocked over there? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
You know, and even some of the fondant pieces that we used was actually kind of a mixed gingerbread clay mixture for some of that stuff, too.
They were very generous with what they considered gingerbread. Like, we needed some pre-clarification. You know, is gingerbread a hard knock-on cookie?
Right.
Is it gingerbread cake? Is it gingerbread cereal treats? Is it gingerbread fondant? Like, and they pretty much said, as long as you can plead your case that it is gingerbread something.
Gingerbread-esque.
Gingerbread, it is a member of the gingerbread family.
Okay. So, am I allowed to guess what gingerbread clay is, or is it, like, top secret? Is it like you grinding up the cookies and like mixing them with some kind of media that then stretches and molds?
Yes.
That's
one version
of it. That is one version. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's like cake ball, but cookie.
It's kind of like,
it could be.
There's one that it's almost like a fondant. Like, have you ever made, like, I had never made fondant. I used to all the time.
Like LMF or stuff. You never made LMF?
No. I buy that stuff. You can like pretty much like you're making marshmallow fondant, but you replace a certain amount of the sugar with like super fine powdered gingerbread. So it acts like fondant-ish, more like a gum paste, but it's made from gingerbread. You can tint it, you can color it. It counts.
That is very, very cool. And I need to go make some things now. Just pause this recording.
I was going to say, pause for homework. Your 2020 gingerbread homework to be assigned by Professor Lee.
Okay, so Mark's giving me that homework. But yeah, while we're in the sidebar mode, I have my homework for 2019, as you know, but I have to tell the audience, was accomplished. I have made choux pastry. I made profiteroles, and they were like way better than I thought, because I thought, I don't like these. These are too sweet. Well, it turns out homemade whipped cream.
Sweet.
Right. Well, see, because I've only had like, you know, store-bought things where they pile on the sweet. And I never liked it. And I now, you know, I know how to make whipped cream. I just never do because, like, I'm not supposed to eat that stuff. But now I just, like, yesterday I ate two plates of these. But you then have now new homework for me based on that.
Your 2020 homework, I want you to make gougères. They're like savory cheese patichoux. And you can make them as like little bite-sized little like cheese puff muffin things. I'll shoot you a recipe.
Isn't that just like cheese puffs? Basically.
Go away. No. Gougères.
No, they are French and badass.
That's like fancy name for, you know, I don't know.
It's not like a Cheeto. It's not like a cheese puff.
No,
it's light and delicious and fantastic and 2020 patchy homework.
Yeah, well, when I described it, when you messaged me about it, I read your actual message to Corin, who was standing beside me. cooking dinner, and because I made profiteroles all afternoon, so it's like, you do dinner now. I've sugared us up. Now you can make. He made quesadillas with the chicken leftovers from Christmas. But,
oh sure.
But he even said at one point, he said we went from like fancy French pastry to whatever our home version of quesadillas are, because it's not Mexican. It's
whatever.
We got some tortillas and put chicken and mushroom and corn in it and cheese, like, and that's her. But yeah, he was. So when I read the description of, say the name again,
Gougère
to him, he said that he thinks he's had them and that they're really good. And I was like, you know, I think cheese would be easier than whipping mm-hmm. the cream and then having to serve them now, because it was a non-stable whipped cream. So,
oh yeah,
that's why we had dessert before dinner that day, because it's like, these aren't going to last 2 hours.
Yeah, no, I used to, because it's one of those things, you can't make a small amount of them. It's, you're feeding an army, that you pipe them out and then you freeze them as little, you know, frozen hockey pucks of, and you just keep them in the freezer forever, and then you can bake like 10 of them for snack. They're kind of amazing.
Do you mean filled? You're freezing them filled, or are you freezing them?
No, you freeze them raw. Like when you pipe them out and you freeze them raw, and then you pop them out, let them thaw, and then put them in the oven. And
oh
yeah,
really cool.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Total sidebar.
Yeah. Okay. Now. Yeah. Okay. Jeez. So that's my homework. But see, because we got some vacations coming up this year, and I may have put out the idea that I also make this really nice chicken bacon salad, like a sandwich filler, right?
Okay. Yeah.
And I when I mentioned just sort of idly, well, what if we filled the little shoe balls with the chicken bacon salad?
Perfect.
My 14-year-old went, oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I said, maybe we make those, you know, before we, and we eat them in the car as we drive to Scotland.
I want to come. I'm
meet us there.
Tacitly inviting myself on your family vacation.
There's room. We booked a castle on a beach.
Oh,
I'm not even joking. I know. And it's not National Trust that owns it. It's like the subsidiary of National Trust. So it's, you know, supporting conservation, blah blah. So we've rationalized this so I can be in a castle on the beach eating shoe pastry.
I totally support it. And then we lost Mark.
Mark's gone. Mark is like,
still here.
I'm still here.
Poor Mark.
I'm your sidebar.
Okay, we will recover from the sidebar.
Gingerbread's cool.
Gingerbread is cool, because that's obviously, I've been playing with that too with my last Austin entry.
Was amazing.
Yeah, the Da Vinci thing was.
Mark, she made a miniature replica of a Da Vinci machine, 3D. Like, it had a crank where you could.
It worked.
Do the crap.
It didn't work well by the time it had settled on a 10-hour flight.
It worked what it was supposed to.
Yeah,
I think but I saw, it was all you posted it before or something.
Oh, yeah.
I think I saw that
before. Yeah, and I posted a blog about that one, and the sales were fortune cookie dough.
Fortune cookie batter.
Yeah, so which I'm also about to use, because I'm in one of these collabs to do, there's like a dragon thing, and I'm going to make
cool.
A dragon out of fortune cookie dough. Like, not shaped like fortune cookies, but like curled to be scales. And
Yeah,
because it's really, really cool, because it complements gingerbread well, because it's still a cookie. So you feel like you're still in the same sort of media set.
Yeah.
And you can decorate it or not. And it's thin and flexible. I mean, it's flexible for about, you know, 30 seconds out of the oven. So you burn your fingers doing it. But like, if you have a rig set up to take the hot dough, you lift it out, put it on. Like, you have to understand some of the construction things about how to make 2D operate in 3D, right? That's
sure.
Right.
What did I call the Klein bottles the other day? My multiphasic dimensional objects. I may be watching a lot of Star Trek right now. But yeah, so I need to make a multiphasic dimensional dragon out of fortune cookie dough. But I mean, in terms of inspiration, I'm going to have to look up her name, but the lady who does, I think she's in Sweden, who does those, she did the Alien things. Yeah. Those massive gingerbread. Yeah.
We were texting pictures of her stuff back and forth. We're like,
yeah.
Baby steps. Next year though, totally got it. Full on 3D, Alien, and the dynamic motion will be the thing out of its mouth.
Oh, I love you so much.
I know. It's so fun. We lost Mark again.
But you're the boss next year. So But now you can't do that because I'd have to edit that out of the podcast. Okay. All right.
Spoiler.
So you won that episode.
Yes, it was awesome.
So then you got to go on to the next one and make just like, I can't even, that is, I know that gingerbread can be 3D, and I'm even looking at this going, oh my God, that's gingerbread.
Yeah.
Okay. So tell me about the next episode.
That one was harder because they shot the three semifinals like back to back to back. And then there was like a day off, and then they're shooting the finale. So we were lucky enough. We got to go home for like 2 days and then come back. So, but since they were shooting things so quickly, there wasn't that, oh, you now have a month at home to make stuff in a controlled environment. It was, we're going to film you for 7 days, full days of prep work. And then we'll give you at the end of that, the 10 hours to put stuff together. It was really weird. It was,
wow.
Kind of. Yeah, it was hard. It was hard to cut because in your mind you're like, oh, I've got 7 days. I don't really have to work that quickly. And all of a sudden it was day seven. It's like, it was a totally different dynamic.
You know, when you go on Halloween Wars, and if you're lucky enough to make it through the first couple episodes to get through, you know, get through the other ones, they film all that within a 2 week shoot. But yeah. It's basically a day of prep or a day of shopping. Then day of prep, then film. Then it's all over again. Day of prep, day of filming, next episode. So there it's very fast, very grueling. This one, even though, so yeah, we say, yeah, it's 7 days, it's a long time. But I found this one more grueling and more draining, I think, than the Halloween Wars ones. For some reason, I don't know if it's just maybe the length or maybe the adrenaline isn't really pushing you as much.
It seemed like a lot of time and not enough, like at the same time.
I mean, the reason they give it longer is because they say, oh, gingerbread takes longer because you got to bake it, do all this other stuff. And yeah, I get that. But, you know, I think a lot of us, we kind of experimented a little bit in those times too to figure out what can we do or try to do differently.
For sure.
So that benefit was good. And it was nice because we were all there. So you're all kind of working together on your same piece versus, you know, when you're a cake person, you do it individually, and it's hard when you're trying to collaborate on things because, you know, someone's in a different location maybe,
That's something we do. Yeah, he's in Chicago, I'm in Dallas, so the whole, you know, month leading up to the first one, it was a lot of phone conversations and texts, and is this what you meant? Well, not quite. Okay, well, hang on, I'll call you tomorrow. Whereas for this finale one, we were able to side by side work. That was so much nicer. Be like, adjust this. It was a little easier in that aspect.
Right. When you talk to people and you say something like, oh, yeah, you're doing that cake thing and you're there for like, you know, the 7 days, like, oh, yeah, so you're hanging by the beach and relaxing. I'm like, no. We're like in a studio
They give us one
10 hours day. Straight.
Yeah.
10 hours straight working on the stuff. And hey, you know what? Yeah, we have 30 minutes for lunch if you want. You know, you really should go back and work again. It's like, obviously, yeah, if you wanted to take more time break, you could, but there was so much to do, I think, and we were just trying to push it the more that you just have to work to get it done. So it's like, yeah, when you're done, we're like, you need a vacation from your vacation if it really wasn't a vacation. So
they gave us one off day in the middle of like that 7 day of doing it. So that was kind of nice. They gave us one day. And it was like, do whatever you want. And so Mark and I went down to Venice Beach and hung out. And we actually, we met up with Sachiko Windebell.
Sachiko.
Oh,
yeah. Because she had moved down there. So we hung out.
Oh, right, yeah.
Had lunch and did like the Santa Monica Pier and all that touristy stuff and went to the beach and thought of all the work that we had to do the minute we got back to camp. It wasn't stressful at all.
And do they at least give you like a pay stipend or something, or are you paying all your hotel or what?
No, we were at a hotel, and we had drivers, like, to the set and back, and they gave us money. Like, if it was a day that we were on camera, we were given a food budget, a food stipend. But breakfast was at the hotel or the place. They fed us for lunch, and we spent all of our dinner money. I spent all of my dinner money. I don't know about you, but I spent every dime of my dinner money.
Right, so it's not like this is a lucrative work scenario.
No, it's lucrative if you win.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's I've heard people talk about in the old challenge days, back when I still lived there, and you know how challenge used to be with the three competitors, right? I've heard people talk about it costing them $3,000 to $5,000 to do it, even to try to get the $10,000 for
They paid our expenses.
A lot of it really depends on the shows. Different shows act differently in how the production companies work.
Right.
I mean, this is probably more inside stuff than, you know, they want you to know or anything like that, because it's all mystery of TV. Yeah, of course, some of the other shows, before, you had to ship out all your stuff.
Yeah.
Because they didn't provide anything. Now, with, like, sponsors, a lot of stuff, you know, they do supply things. Other people have other sponsorships, and they bring in their own secret stash of things. And, you know, you're allowed certain amounts of, like, you know, yeah, they'll let you ship things to them too. But then, you know, there's been times where some people won't do this because production companies be like, oh, well, we misplaced your stuff. We don't know where it is. Is that going to stress you out? It's like, oh, heck yes, it's going to stress people out. And that's kind of what they wanted. So, you know, it depends on the production company. Not saying all of them do it, but I won't even name names of who's. But, you know, some of them kind of mess with people just to get that drama.
Ours seemed to be pretty good.
Yeah, ours was, these guys were great. Everyone was personable. All the producers, they realize, like, yeah, you're the talent. You're the ones making the show. And otherwise, if we're without us, we can't do without you. Right. Yeah. You know, give us more money. That would have been it. but it is, the bad thing is it is kind of winner take all. I mean, obviously, other people think of, if they would have been like, you know, hey, if they give second place and third place, or even just more of like an appearance fee of, it's minimal. Something. I mean, it's less than what you even, if you're your own shop, you're making less. You know, I have the benefit of, I have another job, or, you know, I can take vacation time for it or something, which they weren't too happy since this is a long vacation time. Yeah. But other people who have shops where it's taken away from their business and things like that, you know, they're losing money doing these type of things. So that's why I think a lot of people won't go back to do them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, is it exposure? Is it more stuff? To me, it's fun. It's fun for me doing these, because I don't, like I said, do a lot of cakes for your clients, and getting big ones like this, you know, you're making, you're playing with food, and that's just, I think it's great. But, you know, I get it how other people see that they won't do it again because of some of those things.
Yeah.
You know, and I've talked to producers before, like, yeah, if we did do second place or third, even if they don't announce it and say, yeah, you're going to still win whatever the big prize, but, you know, will pay you for your time that's out, like, even if it's, I would say, like, a couple grand or something like that, just at least offsets, like you said, if people are sending stuff out there that costs $3,000 to do that, they're like, that it's a loss to them. So, you know, small businesses and people that, you know, I've talked to people here that, you know, how much they work production wise in the production bakery, that, you know, just to break even is, it's insane. And I that's one reason I can never open a bakery or do anything myself, and wouldn't want to, is because of that too. So, you know, it's the in and outs of doing these type of things. I know there's tons of shows out there, and there's always going to be hungry people that want to get on there to do it. Probably, you know, that Food Network patch on your coat probably means a lot less now than what it did 10 years ago.
I still want one.
Well, we all want one, because it's still cool.
You can't get them. I mean, unless you could find someone who will embroider it for you or find someone.
I even looked on Etsy. Be like, I'll pay somebody $10 to riddle me out a Food Network patch for my teaching coat for Austin.
Yeah, well, I mean, so they didn't give you anything for your coats from this one?
No, because we don't have coats.
They don't do that anymore. It's just aprons, basically, now. So, I mean, the last time they did patches or gave out coats was, I think, you know, from Food Network Challenge.
Right.
And then I think it's actually one of the last seasons they did was, if you were on, like, three of them, or if you won two of them, you would get, like, this...
There's, like, a special one, no?
Red, like, a red... Yeah, it was, like, a red...
Yeah.
Chef coat or something like that, so...
I don't know. I mean, I was fortunate enough to be on the last season and get a code, so I still have one of the originals, but, you know, it's looking a little faded, but maybe I'll cut the patch off sometime. Who knows?
There you go.
So I don't even know what the question was.
So we're talking about money.
Money.
Well, we didn't get it.
Yeah, because...
Yeah, so we didn't get it.
They covered our hard expenses. They paid for our hotel. They paid for our plane tickets there and back. Yeah. We threw a little stink because, you know, we won ours, and they were going to keep us locked in the hotel for some, like, 3 days or something. We couldn't do anything. And Mark and I were like, no, we need to go home. We need to go home and come back.
We both had birthdays that weekend, too.
We celebrate the weekend that we won our show. Our birthday, Mark and I's birthdays are 2 days apart, and it just happened to fall on our birthday. So we're like, yeah, we won because it's our birthday. We're like, no, guys, we got to go home. You know, it's our birthday. We've got family. We've got commitments. So we made them fly us home and fly us back, like, the day later.
Yeah, and the thing was because, like you said, I told my work – I'll probably.
There's no way we're gonna win.
Yeah, I don't think I was gonna win. I'll be back in the league.
That's what I told Lauren.
And we're back, and then they're like,
"We're gonna leave for 2 more weeks."
Yeah, I'll be gone for 2 more weeks. So
that was a hard conversation to have.
Yeah, I had to talk. I had to sit down when I had to come back. Actually, that wasn't too fun either.
Yeah, me too. It was good.
Part of these things, you figure it out.
In the middle of a big project right now? Are you at that dreaded point halfway along where everything looks all weird and the faces aren't quite human and the animals look like the wrong species, or you haven't covered up the seams, or there's some other part that, because it's not done yet, just looks wrong? Are you exhausted and asking yourself why? Why are you even engaged in this art form? Because you just want to go do something else, but this project is making you hate sugar? Well, remember, we've all been there. Everyone in this industry has been where you are right now, and we will all be there again. The midpoint of any project stinks. You've put in so much time and so much work, but still have so far to go, and there are a dozen other things you'd rather do right now. We all understand. But, come on now, we also know how awesome you're going to feel at the end of this thing. Whatever you're making is going to be amazing. You are going to put that last piece on and stand back and be so happy with what you've accomplished. Because yeah, it's hard, but that's what makes it worthwhile in the end. So take a break if you need to, but keep on going because you rock. You are awesome. You are an artist, and this is your latest masterpiece. Woohoo! You go! You do it! You keep slogging through it, and we are all cheering you on. Yeah!
Okay, so we should, because I know because you told me, but you should tell the audience the result of what happened on the episode with the Gremlins one then. I'm sorry.
Well,
so I feel like Barbara Walters.
Kind of as like, we did not win. But we were very proud of our work.
Yes.
I think we did an awesome job.
It is very cool.
So proud of our team, my team. You know, we were struggling. So for the finale, you got to have a second assistant or third assistant, basically.
Yeah, so we grabbed Monica Stout, which was amazing.
I saw Monica in pictures with you, and I'm like, wait, what? Because I know she sometimes does background stuff for some of these shows. Was she just there? But she was in your team. That's cool.
Well, we were even lucky because we actually, you know, that last, after we found out we were in the finale, we were like, okay, who can we find out?
And we've got 2 days to find somebody that can not have to work for 2 weeks and has skill and is nice. And,
Exactly. I had some sort of lined up, but you know, he had other commitments. Yeah, so it's like, who can we find? Can be here 2 weeks quick. And it happened to be that actually Monica was with Vicky both together, and I think we put a call out to her friends. Yeah. And said, hey, what are you doing for the next 2 weeks?
Kimberly, you know who we put the call out to? We put the call out to Kyla. The Cake Nexus.
Yes, the Cake Nexus.
Cake Nexus!
Well, I mean, that's the closest I ever came to TV was I got scouted for a thing that then didn't happen. I refused to go on because I wouldn't sign their in perpetuity NDA. It was like really, really creepy. Yeah. I'm like, no, I'm a journalist. I know what these terms mean. That show never happened. But the first person I called was Kyla. If I say yes, will you do this? So, yeah.
It was Kyla. We need help. This is the situation. We need somebody who is amazing, that can work with us, that can be here like the day after tomorrow and has nothing to do for the next 2 weeks. Go.
And she said, so, Monica?
She said, call Monica and Vicky.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're right out there. They're in San Diego. Yeah.
That's why she's the Cape Nexus.
Yeah.
Because she knows everybody.
What was that?
So we were very fortunate that both of them were available, actually. And I think, because they reached out to them just as quick too, I think. So
yeah. So Jose picked up Vicky and we picked up Monica. Yeah. It was awesome.
And again, so the theme for the Gremlins was like, interpretations of Gremlins Christmas basically. And I kind of had the idea right away, I think, wasn't it?
You were right. The minute they said Gremlins, you're like, I want the guy heading toward the fountain. And then it was like, okay, cool. And then can he be on the skateboard? We're like, I don't know. Can he be on a skateboard? Let's see if we can riddle this. It was, that one was really quick. It just kind of immediately came together.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we had to come up with something quick too, actually. And I think basically submitting the sketch and like the thought was, all right, how can we wow them or how can we do something different? And then, I was already focusing on the movement. And part of us like was then he, later I was like, or did it kind of come up?
No, that was right. That was about the part where Monica and I just almost quit because Mark was like, let's do something cool. Let's have a working water fountain. And we're like, that's nice for what? And he's like, for this. We're like, but no. We're like, it can look like a water fountain. No problem. We'll put isomalt in and make it look. He's like, no, we're going to put a water pump in it.
I kind of was going to ask if there was a water pump in it while I'm sitting here looking at it.
I'll shoot you a video. I have a quick little, they made us test it before.
I don't have that video. I was looking for that. So
I'll share that back. Because we weren't going to do it. And when we got to that point, the producers were like, no, you need to test it. And they made this big, huge deal about it. So I'll shoot that to you, Kimberly. It's a water pump.
Okay.
A working water fountain.
Inedible stuff. Yeah. Because made out of edible stuff.
So, and we're of course we can make that happen. No problem.
Well, so it's a gingerbread water fountain, right?
Yeah, it was gingerbread.
Right, and so you've painted it with white, or you've covered, or what is the
melted candy chocolate?
Okay. Well, see, if it's got the melted candy melts, it would actually take some liquid for a short time.
That was the whole thing because we were, would it make more sense to do chocolate or the melts? It was a little hot in there too, so the melts stood up a little better. But more impervious to water.
Yeah, fat and water
for sure.
Science. Sure.
I mean, I suppose, in retrospect, we could have just faked it with isomalt and had something, but
the judges were pretty tickled about that. I think that got us bonus points, not enough to
win. I mean, obviously. But I mean, the thing is, all these shows, you have to go big. Like you said, if you don't, then,
what's the point?
Why are you on there? What's the point on here? I mean, we went with that amount of work we put in there, we went in to win, and we hope we would have, but, it was good competition. They're both completely different and we both did amazing work and but the fountain worked for a while. Just long enough.
It was perfect. We had it set to like a low trickle. It sounded very relaxing. It was either relaxing like a spa or you had to go pee.
I was gonna say
right in that perfect little twinkle, twinkle, tinkle, tinkle. Uh-huh. They're like, quick, unplug it. I need a break.
Oh, again, this is why we're friends. Yep. Okay, but tell me about the recipe. Like, did anything else move, or what else? I mean, I could see the lit egg is really cool.
Yeah.
The foot kicked like he was trying to scoot away. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other original intent was Gizmo in the back of the box. He was supposed to tilt up and down, so he's almost kind of like a bucking Bronco, almost struggling pulling back stripe or whatever. Mm-hmm. But the weight of the gingerbread and everything was just too much for the motor I had in there, and
That was disappointing because that was something like it took like several
a good couple days to try to puzzle it out.
Okay, this didn't work. But in the weirdest way though, it was cool. It's like, okay, this didn't work. Okay, what can we do next? Oh, we have another really cool idea. And then like four cool ideas later, it still didn't work. So we had to give up. But
We thought. And I that kind of bugs me just because I've kind of when I get that thought in my mind or I focus on those things, and kind of that perfectionist in me of trying to do something right, doing it correctly, and I just want it to work, and not getting it to work really just kind of bum me out. But I get over it eventually and just go on to other things. But again, still, it's just disappointing because I wish I would have got it to work. But
that would have been really cool.
It would have been so cool just because I,
Yeah, I think all of us know that feeling of, fine.
Yep.
Fine, I will be mature and move on, but I will be bitter forever. I had a Christmas experiment that didn't, I've been wanting to do for like 3 months, and I did it, and it was like, oh, meh, that didn't work.
Yeah.
And I have ideas to try it again another time, but that means a whole nother set of time that I gotta find.
Yeah, with nothing else to do.
I have no,
That happens so often.
That's, well, now I have homework, so.
then you move on to your next idea, like, oh, let's try this one instead.
Yeah, basically.
Like, I don't want to do that. I'm going to play with something else.
I think that's so important to what we do, because I think how else can you kind of advance doing this cake stuff? You know, I don't do string work. I don't do
like the lambda stuff.
Whatever. Yeah. Oh, yeah, lambda stuff. And, you know, I know there's two different camps of, you know, sculpted versus traditional stuff, and I get it. But I want to try, like I said, I have all these ideas of trying to bring new things in, trying new techniques, and I think that's what helps push this industry and gets more people interested in what can be done.
Well, in the fact, I mean, just looking at that finished piece and to be like, that's a gingerbread piece, it doesn't make sense that that's gingerbread. It shouldn't be. There's no way. Like, that's so cool.
The eyes are isomalt, I'm guessing, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And, okay, and I'm looking at the photo of the close-up of Stripe's face, like, Is he like a molded gingerbread cookie, or is that more the gingerbread clay stuff?
He had a ginger, kind of same thing with the teddy bear. So he had like a gingerbread skull, I guess you can call it, which is baked gingerbread over like tinfoil.
Right.
And kind of glued together. His jaws were the same way, and then completely covered with gingerbread clay. So like all the skin and everything was the gingerbread clay. Teeth were probably gum paste.
And like his little horn things too. Yeah.
Yeah. And so for his ears, same thing for Gizmo, is basically icing sheets.
Icing sheets.
Okay.
That had fondant veining in between the ears.
Like in between the,
So I basically sandwiched that between wafer paper so it looked like you see the veins in between.
Yeah, I can see the veins.
Which is kind of cool. So at certain lights, it would catch it, and you could kind of see like the veining in between the icing sheets. I think if I would have done wafer paper, I'd have shown a little bit more, but since the icing sheets are a little bit thicker.
Yeah, but the icing sheets look like skin. Like they were kind of gross and creepy.
I mean, I think either wafer paper would work too, but just airbrushed after. But so again, like just trying new things. You know, Jose did a lot of the gelatin stuff.
That was cool.
We probably should have picked up on that and done more a couple of gelatin things, but I don't know why I didn't. Could have done that for the ear part too. I don't know. That could have been one thing, but
what you did was awesome. Okay. The sculpting that you, because Mark did the two main guys, the two main grunt, and like the sculpting, the figure modeling that you did on the heads was really, really fantastic. I'm so proud of those.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing and doesn't look like a cookie, which is, like, again, we mean that in the best way possible, right? It totally does not look like a cookie. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I wanted to nail. I mean, the thing is, these characters are so iconic.
Yeah.
And it's like, if they don't look like them, you know, you're not going
to. If they don't look right, they'll look really wrong. It's like, it would be like Mickey Mouse, where you're like, I can tell that's supposed to be Mickey Mouse.
Yeah. No, it was so clearly Stripe and Gizmo.
Kimberly, it had the same pine needle stuff. Was the mohawk?
That's what I figured. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool. I mean, I'm sitting here zooming in on another, like one of the. If you can hear clicks in the background of my recording, it's literally me going through your photos right now. It's just a really, really cool piece, and I honestly haven't seen what won. But if this didn't win, oh my god, what did? Like, because did they tell you why or
they?
No, I mean, well.
It's not like you get judging sheets.
We had an idea.
Yeah.
The parameters for both shows, 10% non-edible structure, no more than 10% of the, and then of the remaining 90% that's edible, what, Mark, like 70% of that had to be gingerbread, something in the gingerbread family. since we had so many big, you know, the water fountain that moved, and, you know, the standing up 2.5 foot tall gremlin with the arms and the kicking leg, there was some good structural elements in that. And they never said this is why you guys didn't win, but they made it clear that maybe they felt there was a bit too much.
The way they edited it, kind of felt it was that way. Lesson learned, I guess, true. But
But it was so ambiguous. It wasn't like, you know, 10% by weight, 10% by visual, 10% by what you. It's so subjective.
Yeah, and so a different set of judges.
That was hard.
And I think that's the difference from trying to go from like a cake competition to this, because you know, there really are that stipulations in a kind of cake competition as much or as strict. So, like I said, next time, now we know. We'll figure it out a different way. But
I mean, it's an amazing piece. It's not like it doesn't suck. Totally, it's awesome.
I'm really proud of it. It's just.
Yeah, I mean, winning's nice.
And, you know, we know where the mistakes are, and we know what we could have done differently, and that type of thing. But that's with any piece that you do anyway, too. And, you know, that's part of it. The thing with these shows, it's like the time things. Well, this one we had more time, obviously. But when you're on, like, the 5-6 hour ones, you know, you aren't doing your best quality work.
Right.
You're just rushing to get stuff out here.
Yeah.
The benefit of having those 7 days and actually focusing on those characters, make sure this expressions, right? Make sure, I mean, these were like basically life size gremlins, you know, they're real. So,
to take that time and get that.
I mean, exactly.
I mean, even just rolling all those teeth. I mean,
we'll make sure you have the picture. There's like a close up of the mouth of the teeth. He airbrushed like plaque on each of. Like, they're gross, and like the tongue has goosebump tongue.
Yeah, I can see its texture. Yeah.
Slimy. Yeah. Yeah,
it's gnarly, and I mean that again in the best way. Like,
yeah.
As someone who made like several dozen dragon teeth this summer out of Sculpey, it's not exciting after the first few. Like, it's really not.
After that whole, Monica and I are rolling stuff out, and we're like, God, he's still on the teeth.
Yeah.
It's totally worth it.
Yeah.
What a time suck.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly, because it's in our art, there are so many things that seem like a good idea when you start. And then you're halfway through, someone could be listening right now, and they've put Durger's on half of the cake, and they're sad, and we all reach out to them with our hearts and say, we know, it always sucks halfway through.
Yep.
And you think,
push on through or throw it away.
And you tell yourself, next time, I'm going to make this quilting pattern wider so I can put fewer dragees on, but you know it won't look as good, so you know you're going to do it again as much as you hate it now.
But now you know how. But now you know how long it'll take.
And yeah.
So yeah, there you go. There's no delusion.
Yeah.
This is like a 10-minute project.
No, this is a good. This is a good hour or two.
It took me so long to make these profiteroles that I said to my kids, "I said, you like them? Good. You better really enjoy them because I'm not doing that again anytime soon."
The treats that I bake, you know, because we're in the holidays, the stuff that I bake, because you know, I give away and sell away and whatever treat. It's like no, because I remember how much I don't like doing this. And it's such a time suck, and it's so disruptive of life that I you won't get cookies from me. And then I'll remember come November, be like, oh, cookies are fun. I'm going to make a whole bunch of cookies, and I'm going to make, you know, German holiday bread.
Because you're in the giving spirit. That's what
I gifted you cookies. Yeah, next year you don't get them for free. Next year you're paying for them, like everybody else.
The first hit is free, man.
Yeah, exactly. The first one's free. I get you hooked, and then, you know, you need to start showing me the dollars.
It's time for a podcast helpful reminder. Are you working on a competition piece? Are you working on a client cake? When was the last time you checked the rules for your competition entry? When was the last time you read your client contract to make sure that you're spelling that name right? You're working really hard, I know, But every once in a while, you need to pause, go check that you're doing it right. Because you're an amazing artist, but we all make mistakes. So right now, if you can pause, go check what you need to do, make sure it fits in the space that it needs to go into, make sure everything's spelled right, and then get back to work, because you're awesome.
They asked us after we won the first one, would you guys do this again? We're like, well, hopefully we're going to do it again in a couple days. Like, no, would you do it again? Yeah, this is so fun, but not, you know, like 6 months from now, a year from now, when we forget how tired we are and how the bad parts of this. There was nothing bad. It was just tired.
Well, I mean, like, that's why people have more than one child, because they forget the pain and horror of infancy by the time the child's out of toddlerhood. Because this is why there's such a gap between my children, because it took us over 5 years to forget the torture that was the first part. The amount of poo jokes in this house. Like, it just never.
The burps and farts were all.
Oh, burps and farts are funny.
I don't care how old you are, burps and farts are funny.
Yeah. I bought a poo emoji cutter. because I thought Robin, who literally just walks around the house singing about poo, I thought, if I showed her this, I knew Robin doesn't have the spatial relations to know what the cutter is from just the cutter shape, but I showed her a poo emoji. I said, look, this was in the summer. Mommy has a cutter for this. Would you like to make some poo cookies? And again, my six-year-old who sings about poo all day long wrinkled her nose and said, that would be yucky.
What?
But then Peo said, can we make rainbow poo emojis? And I'm like, hell yes, we can make rainbow poo emoji. We haven't yet, but yeah.
Yeah, it's on the list. It's on the homework.
It's on the list. And for the record, the poo emoji cutter also could be ice cream. It looked, because it's just that sort of.
It's that swirl. I was going to say, or like a fat unicorn horn.
Yep. Could totally be that. It could be a fat carrot the other way around. Oh, see, now one of my favorite things is the flip the cookie cutter thing. I just love that. Yeah.
It's like it's a gingerbread man, or if you turn it upside down, it's a reindeer head with ears and antlers.
Yep. The balloon / pirate.
Okay, I like that one.
Yep, that's
using tools in a manner for which they were not intended.
Yeah, because then we don't have to have 10 million cutters. She can't say with a straight face.
We still have 10 million cutters, though.
Still 10 million cutters beside me right here. Still have not accomplished that 2018 goal of sorting all my cutters and tools. But okay, anyway, back to the meat of it, the cookie of it. So you don't know if you're going back on yet.
They haven't. No. We have to apply again though too. No.
Probably,
will they let us do this one again? I want to do the Halloween one. Dibs on the Halloween.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. It depends. Sometimes, you know, if they want to change the show up again or not, or they want different people, or you know, sometimes you put into the storyline. Oh, they want to do Redemption again. You know, same thing happens for the other shows as well too. And you know, sometimes they are looking for newer people. They want to see the same ones. But, you know, look at Reva. Reva's been on every show, too, so who knows?
Yeah. Well, that was something, too, because we had a good time doing this, and we work really well to each other, and we balanced each other out. It was good. And we made it to, like the very first, be like, oh, you guys are fun. And they're like, oh, no, we're looking for fresh faces. You guys have already done TV, so you can't do it. And we're like,
well, for me, not you. So I mean,
well, I was using the royal we again. We're a team. We have been on too much TV, Mark. We're not going to do this, Mark. Show together, Mark. Because we have been on too much TV. So we need to clear.
Just wear masks.
We need to find another thing that we can do.
I'll knit you guys some gingerbread looking ski masks.
What is it that song? It's like the Masked Singer, where it's like somebody sings and they're in like you can't see and you're supposed to get. We could be like the masked gingerbread people. And we lost Mark again. Kim, that was okay. Maybe. That's what I got for 3 weeks every time. You're like, can we do this? Yeah. Well, maybe. Oh, darn it.
But by superhero rules, if you just put on the little mask, I mean, like in The Incredibles, if you just put on the mask, no one will know it's you.
Yeah, I know.
That's basic science.
Yeah, okay, well, how many Asian cake people are on the show do you see? They're male.
It doesn't matter. But these are people, these are civilians. They don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see? That's okay. They'll just call us. Yeah, by, see, I can apply as Jesse, I'm a completely different person, and then they'll just let it go.
Yeah.
Food Network jerks.
Yes.
Food Network jerks.
Did they spell your name with an IE?
Do what?
Did they
spell? No, I was Jessica. Like, I was watching it with my niece and my nephew, and they both looked at me. They go, "That's not your name." I was like, "Even the babies know."
Yeah, see, I mean, and I just assumed that the misspelling would be IE because.
Oh, no, they just renamed
you. They Starbucked you.
But you hear me calling you Jesse, but then when the nameplate comes up, it's Jessica. Jessica.
Yeah, because Mark was like, and then I brought with my assistant Jesse Lessard. They're like Jessica. I'm like, you could. It still chaps my badass. Kills me. I'll never let that go.
Did you text one of the producers? You probably should.
Well, it's too late at that point. Yeah, jerks.
Well, yeah, and if you're too difficult, then they might not have you back on if they think, "Oh, you're a diva."
We were so cheery and helpful, and how you know you would thank you so much because actually the people that we had, like the whole production team, they were wonderful. Like from the art department that are making stuff and be like, "I don't know how this tool works. Here you go." We could say, "Hey, I think I need 15 more pounds of rye bread flour," and it just magically appeared. It was so cool.
You know, it might take a little bit, but, you know, yeah, we'll get that for you. So.
But we kind of got into that. Like, all you had to yell out was culinary, and somebody from would show up, "What do you need?" And you ask, and it would happen. Like, it was really hard to go back to work afterwards and not yell out culinary and expect, like, 10 more pounds of extra large marshmallows to show up on my workbench.
Yeah, you're like, dang it, I actually get it myself.
That's literally my job.
I was going to say, isn't that what you do?
Buy the supplies that we need.
You are that flunky for Lauren, right? So
I am. I yell out culinary, and I'm like, "Oh wait, that's me," because I need to go to the store.
You need a shirt that says culinary on it,
dude. On it, they did everything that they could to give it a positive, comfortable. Because they were like, "Okay, this is going to be a lot of work. We're going to make it as easy on you. We're going to give you everything you need. We're going to feed you. Do you need? Can we run? You know?" They were nice, like helpful actual people.
I'm glad,
you know,
because it's clearly not all of them. I mean, this is part of what burned me out on watching some of these things before I even left the U.S. is like what you were saying right at the beginning about how it became less and less about making cool cakes and more about let's make them climb up and down stairs. Let's make them chase their secret ingredient in a pool at Disneyland. And I was just
that doesn't entertain me.
About
that.
Yeah.
I was apprehensive.
Yeah. Cause as a viewer, I don't want to see that. I actually don't watch pain-based reality television cause I'm not entertained by it. I'm sickened by it. I'm upset by it. It makes me anxious and upset. So then when it started to be my friends being mildly tortured. And I think that actually is what did challenge in, to be honest, because they were Kyle and I spoke to production people. And we said, look, what everyone at our, you know, the Austin Cake Show wants is a show that's instructional. At the time, there was like a knitting show. Oh, I blanked on it. It was Knit Something. I have the book of it. And it was Vicky somebody who was on it. I can picture her. I can't remember. I'm too tired. Mm. But anyway, there was a knitting show on TV. And it was a procedural. It was you knit this way and then you would do this. And this is and then
sure.
A lot of magic of TV. Okay, now we've done the long part. And then you bind it off this way or whatever.
Yeah.
We tried so hard with so many different producers to pitch the idea that people want a how-to cake show. And if you want to make it competitive too, that's fine. And nobody bit.
No.
But all of us want that.
That was one of the other things. You know, Mark and I had a discussion about this earlier. It's like, we want to do good work. Stuff's going to go wrong. And that's okay. There will be natural drama. I said, but I won't do anything that makes me purposefully look not badass.
Yeah.
Like, you know, oh, this is sugar. I thought it was salt. Woe is me.
Ugh.
Because that's what they want us. I was like, no. If I'm a dummy and I grab the salt instead of the sugar on my own, you know, because I'm not paying attention, that's fine. But I won't be put in a position to made to look that way.
Yeah.
I won't do it. I screw up enough on my own. Like, right? I don't need people to help me screw up. Make it look like I don't know what I'm doing.
That's why Bake Off is nicer, because on Bake Off, on British Bake Off, when they scrap, I mean, because that exact error has happened more than once, where someone's grabbed the wrong white powdery stuff, or they forget the eggs or something. Because everyone in our we've all done that in our kitchens. We've all, even as professionals, forgot the thing or got the count wrong. I mean, I was just saying a couple episodes ago on this that I was making a cake for actual sale, which I don't do very often, and I was doing a 1.5 recipe, and I counted out the eggs, and I did everything right, and when the cakes went in the oven, I looked at the eggs that were left on the counter and went, Yeah. Because we all make mistakes, and that's fine, but that's different than the manufacture drama of, you have to get this ingredient from the middle of a swimming pool.
Yeah.
Because nobody would do that.
Yeah, no, there's one point, and thank goodness, like, it never happened, but it was on the finale part, on the actual 10 hours of work, and I took something out of the oven, and I burned my arm, and it was one of those stupid, like, I haven't burnt myself like that in years, but the immediate what in my head was like, oh my gosh, I don't want to say anything, because I don't want this to be like, look at the idiot girl who doesn't know how to take something out of the oven correctly. So it's like, okay, I'm just going to rinse it off with cool. Everything's fine. Everything's great. And the minute they stopped, you know, filming, is like, can I get, like, didn't we have any of that spray stuff, you know? And they're like, what happened? I'm like, it's off camera, so it doesn't matter. It's fine. Nobody saw it. But yeah, immediately went to like, okay, you know, keep your mouth shut. Everything's fine. Everything's cool. It's not that bad. Cause I didn't want that like in, you know, inflated fake drama of stuff.
Right. Yeah. Well, cause again, same show that I didn't go on.
They didn't make me do it.
the friend who went on said that they were mic'd even going into the bathroom so they could catch them saying mean things about each other, the other competitors, so they could edit in every single mean.
We asked that.
Yeah.
We asked that because we're mic'd the whole time. And they made a point of saying, that's a wicked creeper move. The bathroom is a safe place.
Yeah.
You're not listening in. But if you see a camera on you, we can hear you. Like, if you try to put your hand over your mic, we can still hear you.
Yes, yeah.
But the bathroom is a safe place.
See, that's fair.
Yeah.
That's
of course that's fair.
Yeah.
But that was the first thing. It's like, oh my gosh, am I, like, creeper?
Yeah.
Poor sound guy listening to 30 people use the restroom on a
mic. Right. Gross. Who wants, like, gross?
Gross.
I mean, well, okay, you know, also health.
There was the other episode with
There was a drama. It was organic drama, so that's okay. It was drama.
It wasn't us, but it was with other.
It was a very strong personality conflict on one of the other episodes, and it made it to the show because there's no way not to. It was a clash of not niceness.
Aww. And then you just feel bad for everyone.
Hard. Yeah,
especially if you know them.
To watch.
Yeah.
Well, you just feel bad for your friends too.
Exactly.
Like, it just makes the experience worse, which it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
And you know, it's unnecessary. It didn't have to be that way.
The two other teams on our initial episode, I had that moment with Heather's like, forgive me, I recognize you, but I can't place why. And she said, awesome. I said, I got it.
Yeah.
But we didn't know anybody else, but we're all friends. Like, we have like a group text and we still text and communicate. Like, the kind of joshing and I'm poking fun, but all well-meaning.
I like that.
It was like, we're having fun. We're joking with each other, but nothing was mean.
Yeah. See, that's totally fine. It is totally fine to make the jokes, to wink at each other. Ha ha ha. But then when you watch Bake Off and they go help each other or they hug each other when they're crying.
That was at the end of the finale, because it was us three, there was a team that was all three women from Canada, and they had, you know, the fastidious, amazingly detailed gingerbread house looking thing with like the most incredible sugar work like I've ever seen. And then Jose and Karen and Vicky, and we're like, well, we know them. They're our friends. And it was so much fun because it was good-natured joking, be like, can you make me a snack? Go get me something, you know?
Yeah.
It was fun, and you could feel it. There was like a really positive energy and vibe and all that kumbaya stuff, but there was hugs,
especially since,
like
I said, we're working with them 8 hours for 7 days straight,
right?
Yeah. And then going out
spending
to eat for
time,
dinner and
going out afterwards,
every night.
Yeah.
I mean, it's telling that so I had Robert Harwood on, and he did Australian Bake Off, and like they were all friends living in a house together who then competed on the show, and they were all super sad when anyone left, and then, like, mm-hmm. yeah, they're all still in touch.
Yeah.
It's camp.
Yeah.
I think they're going to try to do a U.S. kind of version of that, too, but that just seems a little weird of
well,
everyone in the same house a little bit. And then,
yeah, we were in the same hotel, and that was a little close enough. Yeah. I was like, at least you're on a different floor. I don't have to see you 24 hours a day.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I have a little bit of downtime.
Yeah, I mean, just need that anyway, because, I, like, you kind of either want one or the other. You either want it to be camp, like, where you're all hanging out, and that's part of the expectation, or you want that private retreat space. You don't want to have a blurred line there. Yeah.
I'd wanted to... It was like, okay, for the finale, it's like, okay, we're all sort of friends. We also, I want one night where all of us are going to have dinner, because it was, you know, once things are done and we go back to the hotel, you can go your own separate ways. It's like, okay, we're going to have dinner with you guys one night. Mark and I ate together like every night, you know, but it was always who did we grab to come with us? It was like, I want at least one night where it's all nine of us. And I think one night we ended all up, there was a little like text. Well, no, I'm in Texas. California's not Tex-Mex.
I live in England.
California, Texas.
Calimax. It's like, you know, right up the road from the hotel, like a 3-minute walk, and we ended up there. Enough that the bartender's like, oh, you guys are back. How'd the shoot go today? We're like, oh, crap, we're here too much.
Like,
all nine of us just had this great dinner and, you know, having, you know, your beverage of choice and lots of chips and salsa and tacos. And it was just, it was nice. It was camp in the best way.
It's part of the experience. And
For sure.
That's the moments that you really kind of remember and everything is where you become good friends with these people on these shows. It's like, I can remember everyone else from the other shows I've been on too. It's like, so we normally work alone and you don't work in groups like this. And so when you get the chance to, you know, you make the most of it. And that's why I think a lot of people go to the cake shows and they see, like, you know, the people that you see on TV and they're other cake heroes. And that's when you really get to know them and find out who they really are. That's
you found out that I'm really awesome. Yes, you just I was awesome, but now you know for sure. Because we spent, like, every waking moment for the better part of a month together.
The correct answer is yes, Mark.
And you stalked me for, like, a week.
Yeah, the answer is great. You're supposed to say yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. On the finale, the team of they were all from Ottawa. They're fantastic.
You were saying that the Canadian, but first Canadian pops in my head is Susan Trianos, but I'm assuming it wasn't her.
Everything was, oh, sorry.
Yeah.
It's like the most polite, wonderful women ever. And beautiful work. It's like, God, that work is so beautiful. Oh, sorry. I'm like, no, I'm giving you girls a compliment.
It's a reflex.
It really is. Yeah. It got kind of funny.
Yeah.
Made teeny tiny blown sugar, pulled sugar, Venus fly trapsuses that were in a pot that were like an inch and a half tall.
That's amazing. But
the sugar work was insane. It was crazy.
I love miniatures, and I moved out of a Texas house into a British house, I couldn't make giant.
You live in miniature.
yeah, exactly. That's why I had to embrace all the miniatures, and it's part of why cookies have become a better medium for me to play around in, because it's less space commitment.
I'm thinking about doing stuff with cookies. Like, it just looks really cool, and it's different.
And it's honestly, it's a bit more forgiving time-wise, because, like, once you've got the cake out, like, really, and if it's going to be an eating cake,
forget it.
You only got a few days before it starts to get a little bit questionable. Cookies, I mean, I think officially a sugar cookie is still good for, like, I think the FDA or something says 4 weeks. I'm on, like, a 1 week. Like, after 1 week, it starts to get that chewy, stale sort of thing.
Yeah, like, it's not,
But it doesn't mold. I mean, I've got cookies that for, you know, decoration or, you know, photos or whatever that are they're like 8 years old. They're older than Robin, and they don't mold. Yeah. It's like when you do a gum paste thing. As long as you keep it dry, it doesn't mold.
At the end of the finale, like, once they'd taken all the pictures and everything was done, they're like, if you want to, you know, break off a piece of your display and take it home as a memento. And, like, it struck me as kind of weird. I was like, well, that's weird. And I was like, oh, but it's cookie. Like, Monica, she had made this beautiful, it was a present that she'd done this beautiful pipework, so it almost looked like plaid. Yeah, and she was like, I'm taking this home. I'm like, of course you can. It's gingerbread and royal icing and gum cake. It'll last, you know, through the apocalypse.
While I'm looking at the picture of the little plaid thing, the 35 candle, are those candles, or did you guys make the candles?
Mark made the candles.
I wasn't sure, because I figured, like, you probably made them, but they look like the real candles.
Isn't that funny? Those were made
a little homage to the 35th anniversary of Gremlins movie. So we had another play off the movie of
the dad made all his, I don't know, all his inventions or anything.
Peltzer Snaw Blade cutting into this old style cake that Jesse made. It was Funfetti Cake, wasn't it?
Yep, that was Funfetti
Cake. It is a Funfetti Cake,
yeah. Yeah, so of course we had to do like some 1980s style kind of candles on there.
1980s, I got a number 5 sitting on the top of the microwave from my kid's 5th birthday a year and a half ago. Because I got the same thing, right?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, that's why it looks so familiar, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I am in firm denial that movie is 35 years old. Nope. Mm-hmm. Nope.
Crazy.
Yeah. Same thing with the Star Trek. Can't handle that that's 30-something years old, because that would mean I'm 47, which I'm totally not, except I am.
Yeah.
Well, it's not getting ages here, so.
Yeah.
We could totally talk about it, because I'm the baby. So it's fun.
Because she's 12.
No.
Because I'm 8. Thank you very much. Burps and farts are funny. Yep.
I should see if there's anything else you guys want to talk about on, you know, from the show, or your cake lives in general, or...
I think we're good. Do you think that we left anything out?
I don't think so. I think I managed to get some... My real curiosity was what was made out of what. Like, I'm always just happy to hear, how'd you make, what'd you make, you know, that out of... Yeah, so that was really cool. And I'll link to the stuff in the show notes so everyone can go see the photos we're talking about. Thank you both so much for being on, and Mark should go rest, and Jesse and I will now talk for 8 hours straight, except we will nod, because I can't.
Just hit the recording off button, and then, you know, it's good to go.
Oh, no, I keep it on for future blackmail. What would I blackmail you with?
It's just ridiculous. I was going to say, because we're talking about the same stuff.
Yeah, this is not good blackmail.
You're blackmailing yourself at that point.
Right, pretty much, yeah. See, that's why you can tell that it's 11:48 here, because I've hit the punch drunk point.
You got the giggles.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for having us on and letting us talk about what was good, what we were a little less than happy with, and everything's awesome.
Everything is awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everything is awesome.
Totally. See, again, in the Lego fandom, that song is not about everything being awesome. It's about the perils of conformity, and trying to tell an 8-year-old that, they don't understand.
Because everything is awesome. Because the Lego man says so.
Yeah. Except it's not awesome. That's the whole point. That's the...
Okay, well, I'll let you two have that discussion.
All right. We've lost him for real.
Yes. Thank you, Mark.
All right.
Yep. Thank you so much. And then, just whenever you post a tag, whatever. Yeah.
Yep. I will ping everyone on social media. When it goes out, and I link to all your pages and everything.
Cool. Awesome.
Thank you.
Well, thank you again. Thank you.
Cool, thanks. Mm-hmm. Bye.
Bye.
This has been the Eat the Evidence podcast. A warm thanks to all of my contributors, and you can find out more about them and the things discussed on today's episode in the show notes by visiting the podcast section of the Eat the Evidence website, eat-the-evidence.com/podcast. There, you'll find social media links, as well as links to iTunes, Stitcher, and other places where you can subscribe, so you'll never miss an episode. I've also posted detailed instructions on how to leave me a Facebook voicemail message and other options to call into the show. Please do feel free at any time to call in your very own cake formation, funny story, talk about a challenge you're having or have recently overcome, or rant about something driving you crazy. And if you like the show, please post a review on iTunes and share it with all of your sugar artist friends. This show was produced and edited by me, Kimberly Chapman. Thank you so much for listening, and remember, you are an amazing artist, and everyone involved with this podcast supports you. You can do it. Until next time, bye-bye, and good luck with whatever you're working on.
we had so much more fun that they didn't even show.